Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been. Explore where they are going. See what gets them out of bed in the morning. Find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points. We will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. Jen Moff is a professional speaker and the CEO of TJM, a coaching and consulting firm specializing in transformational experiential retreats, corporate trainings for rapidly growing startups, and peak performance coaching for burned out, purpose-driven professionals. Her areas of expertise include the intersections of leadership and employee experience, play and personal development, as well as relationships and spiritual growth. Hi, Jen. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm really excited to share your story. So shall we get started?
Let's do it.
All right. So do you want to tell us a bit about where you are now? What's actually happening for you right now?
Oh my goodness. That's such a big and a small question all in one. I'd say the big thing that's happening right now for me is I'm in a different city than I've lived before. I've been in Boston now for about a year and a half, and I'm working back full-time in my business. I actually relocated here to work for a startup in the Boston area, which I am no longer affiliated with. So I'm back in my business full-time, and quite frankly, business is better than it's ever been, and I'm super grateful. Got a lot of new things coming later this year, and just very, very excited about what's possible and where things are going. You know, on a smaller level, you know, I am just enjoying my life and opportunities and things that are here around me physically, in my personal life and in my professional life. So yeah, that's the gist of where I'm at right now.
Oh, excellent. So do you want to tell us a bit more about what you do for your business?
Sure. So I currently am working in a couple of capacities. The first piece of it is a peak performance coaching, so to speak. So I work with burned out, purpose-driven professionals who really are just ready for that next level, whatever that looks like for them. It could be in their business, it could be in their relationships, that kind of thing. Those are kind of the sweet spots. And then outside of the coaching space, I also run transformational experiential retreats. And that has been a new offering that has been on my heart for years that has finally taken off this year as a major leg of the business. And then I also do consulting and corporate trainings as well for rapidly growing startups in the areas of mindfulness and leadership and emotional intelligence.
Yeah, excellent. I love that. So do you want to tell us a bit about your story? What's actually happened for you to get to this point then?
Oh, I love this question because it gives you an opportunity, you know, to kind of like reflect and have some gratitude and just also get excited about what has happened. So in a nutshell, I was in a number of abusive relationships too, to be exact. Back in 2011, I got out of the first, and at the same time, I was finishing up a degree in communication and public relations and was working full-time for an AT&T franchise, worked my way up within the company, went through an existential crisis, just really had thought I was kind of on the other side of the relationship, but I was still kind of disconnected from who I was and what I wanted, what I was longing for. I wanted my life to mean more. And so I quit the job at 30 and didn't have any other plans. So I moved in with my parents to where they were currently living, not where I grew up. They had relocated to a 55 plus retirement community in Florida. So that was super fun for me at 30 years old. Yeah, it was definitely a period of time for introspection and soul searching. Lots of dark nights of the soul, if you will. And while I was there, I reconnected to a lot of things that I enjoyed and made some plans and really started to work towards some goals, because the summer of 2012, I had been sunbathing around the middle of July and all of a sudden received this download. I heard, "You're going to take over Tony Robbins' job." And it scared the crap out of me. And I didn't really know what to make of it, but it didn't leave me for a long time. I started looking into, well, what does he do? What would that take? And I began researching, being a professional speaker, what do I think needs to happen in order to, you know, get that off the ground? And I remember making that list and thinking, oh my gosh, that's so much shit. I don't know what I'm going to do. That's going to be so hard. Oh, blah, blah, all those things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that stuff's long since been completed. I moved out of my parents' home after being there for about 5-6 months and took on a job working in staffing, recruitment, payroll, HR. And while I was there, I just decided, okay, I'm going to own this, you know, speaker thing. And that's kind of how I started my business, was claiming that label. And I had to work into the idea of being an entrepreneur, of being okay with some of the challenges and the risks that were involved. And by the end of the year, the company that I worked for decided to close their doors. And so it felt very much like, okay, this is a door shutting on my life, guiding me into the next season. And around that time was when the first person approached me asking if I took on coaching clients. And I had never given it any thought, but I said, sure, why not? Let's give this a go. So I've been working with people one-on-one and in groups and via masterminds ever since. I love speaking. I have a background in theater and improvisation performance. So that's still something that I love to do and will always have my heart. And the coaching thing has really been a surprise for sure.
Yeah, I love that. So there's a couple of times there you've talked about you've had like a download, you've changed where you are because there's been different tipping points. Were they like lightning bolts for you, or were they more like slow rumbling up to that you needed to make a change?
Oh, both, I'd say. I love the way you describe that. The one about Tony Robbins was definitely the lightning bolt version. The leaving AT&T was definitely more of like a longer term rumbling. I had felt for a while that things needed to change. And I'd been applying for other jobs, trying to move out of the city that I was in and just make some changes, but I wasn't getting anywhere. And eventually it was kind of like the discomfort was so great. And the company was asking something else of me after I had relocated for them. They wanted me to move again within like a 6-month time period. And finally it was like, so much pressure. I can't take it anymore. Something's going to happen or I'm going to explode. And that's how that one kind of pushed me into, let me just make this decision. I don't like it, but I feel that it's the right one. So. Yeah.
Yeah. So once you've made your decisions and thinking, okay, I'm going ahead with this, have you had challenges along the way where you think of, oh, I'm just going to throw in the towel, it's too hard?
yeah, of course. Not to like diminish it, like, oh yeah, of course, everybody feels that way. But the very first couple of times, I would say, I can remember back in 2015, 2016, there was a couple of different episodes. In 2016, I had a pet, a cat named Cow for, oh my goodness, about 15 years. And he got sick in early 2016 with lymphoma and passed about 2 months later. And it just wiped me out. I had been making really good strides in the business and growing things, and things were becoming very consistent. But as soon as he got sick, I like aborted all of that stuff and I poured everything into taking care of him. After he passed, I took almost a month off of like business building and visibility. I continued working with my client load, but I kind of dropped off the map otherwise. And it was really challenging to get motivated back in there right away. There was another season in early 2017 that carried over from him passing. I think that, you know, momentum just was not where it was the year before. And I realized I was going to have to, you know, take on some other work for the first time in a while. And it really bugged me. And I had to wrestle with those ideas And it felt like, you know, am I not an entrepreneur if I'm working for someone else? And, you know, I think that's a common thing that people wonder about and wrestle with. At that time, I think I was working like four different side jobs simultaneously. Let's see, I was working for a locally owned restaurant as like a server food runner. I was helping out a friend who owned like a painting and wine place where people could come and do pottery and paint things. I helped her out a couple of times. The funniest one was a guy that I got connected with who was in his own kind of startup space. And he was from Brazil, loved soccer and foosball, and created this human foosball field. And it was a kind of a thing that he built out of metal and netting, and he would travel with it and it would need assembled. So me and this guy would like unload heavy pieces of metal piping and reconnect everything. And then we'd run games out in the heat in, you know, the southern part or the central part, pardon me, of Florida here in the US. And that was a really interesting experience. He was a great guy to work with. And then the fourth one, I was doing some other restaurant work. I was doing, not serving, but I was working for a catering company doing large scale events and things. And none of this was enough to really get by, but it was like little drops in the bucket here and there and everywhere to, you know, kind of fill in the gaps. And that was certainly about as rough of a season as it got when I was really having to get scrappy, if you will.
So what kept you going? Like, what do you have a big vision like that that you want to get to that keeps you putting one foot in front of the other?
I would say it's probably a combination of things. Like on one hand, the you're going to take over Tony Robbins' job thing is always kind of been there, not the way that it was when I first heard it, so to speak, but coupled with that is that initial desire that I felt when I was working for someone else of like, I want to make a bigger impact. I don't like, you know, not being able to do things the way that I envision them. There's so many more gifts that I have, so many more talents that I have that go to waste when I'm just in this one kind of role. And I get very complacent, maybe not the right word, but I also get very bored. I like a lot of change of pace. And so it, the idea of working for someone else again, doesn't appeal to me. I wouldn't say never because you just don't know. I didn't think I'd be working for someone else over a year ago now, but their mission really aligned with things that I believed and I valued at the time. But internally, I would say it's really about kind of the spiritual awakening that I had during 2011, 2012, that season of recognizing that, you know, what I've gone through in my own life, the lessons I've learned, they're not just for my own benefit. The gifts that I have, I was given to serve other people and to continuously remind myself of that, not in like a, oh, you've got a lot of stuff you've got to take care of, this like finger wagging kind of thing, but just like this privilege that I have and responsibility. And it's also very exciting. So that a lot of that drives me as well. There's also something to be said for the freedom that I have now that I didn't have previously, not just in terms of like financial success, but to be able to be my full self. I think a lot of people want that. And that's something that I never want to trade ever, ever again.
Yeah, so true. What about an ignition point? It's been a point in time where things just started taking off or making sense for you?
I would say a couple of different times. The first one was back in 2015 that I started to mention previously. At the end of 2014, I had, you know, started taking on clients, but I wasn't doing things very intentionally. And I decided at the end of that year, I'm going to run a webinar every single month in 2015. And that's how I'm going to, you know, start teaching people things and generating some buzz and being more visible. And then hopefully that results in getting clients too, that I can serve in a more intimate way. And it did. I had steady attendees. I had steady engagement. The consistency of people that wanted to work with me was very steady for those first 5 months of the year. And I have no doubt that if, you know, he hadn't gotten sick, I would have continued with that model and things would have progressed. I'm not upset about any of it because I think everything happens for a reason. But that was definitely one season. And I would say probably last October, and all of like 2017 towards the second half of the year, I submitted the idea of, you know, taking on other work, like I mentioned before. And I did some other freelancing in the IT space, which I'd done previously. Being willing to kind of go there and be open to receiving in various ways and not thinking something is beneath us, I think is really important, because that shows that I'm able to receive. And from an energetic standpoint, that's going to attract more opportunities for that. And ultimately what that led to was me manifesting my first six-figure year in 2017. 2018 brought me a lot of lessons in terms of how to navigate certain professional scenarios. That is something that I never imagined I'd have to deal with, for lack of a better word, but it's really equipped me with more tools to be able to support people that I work with that go through those things. And as the year continued on, I started working with a new coach at the end of October, because I truly believe that I can't support people if I'm not receiving support and bettering myself. I can only take people as far as I'm willing to take me. So I started working with someone new at the end of the year, and that, and some of the tools that they have in their arsenal that I'm currently training to build into my own arsenal have been profoundly helpful in terms of the inner work that's needed for yielding the outward success, if you will, like mindset and wealth consciousness and cellular restructuring, all of that juicy stuff.
So it all sounds really exciting going forward. What would you say is the most exciting thing about the future for you?
Oh, what is the most exciting thing about the future? The more I get to know me, and it's not like I don't know who I am at this point. I'm 37. I've done a lot of work in that department in the last 8 years, but it's always like kind of peeling away layers and learning new things and seeing things more deeply or more clearly. The more that deepening happens, more that elevation happens, the more excited I get about what's possible and who I'm becoming. Like, if I look back to where I was a year ago, would I have imagined that I'd be in this place right now? Hell no. Same thing for, you know, the years before that. So I can't even imagine what life will look like for me in the best way possible this time next year. What I can say consistently, every year since I've started down this personal development, spiritual growth path, it's gotten better and better. I've had better, healthier, more conscious relationships. I've taken care of myself in more nourishing ways. I've aligned my business with things that excite me. I've had higher grossing months than I've ever had to date. So it's there's no turning back. So there's just an open-ended possibility of all sorts of juicy stuff. So I'm just, it's the past successes indicate to me that there's nowhere to go but up. So, yeah.
No, I love that. I love that when it's the excitement of the unknown, isn't it? Like things,
yeah.
Whatever happens, it's going to happen. So yeah. All right. Let's have a change in pace and do the speed round.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right. What's your favorite book?
Okay. Weirdest thing that came up. I wouldn't say it's weird, but probably not what I was going to expect. There's a book that I was introduced to when I was in eighth grade called Juniper by a woman named Monica Furlong. And it's the second book in a trilogy, but it's actually the prequel to its predecessor. And it's about, it's a fantasy story about a girl who was born into a family and realizes she's different. And so through her growing up, she's sent to live with her aunt, who is kind of a medicine woman, and she learns the healing arts from her, and then comes back to her family and helps them. And little did I know how much that would really kind of shake out in my own life. But I love fantasy, and that certainly holds a special spot in my heart.
So, yeah, I love that one. All right, who's a mentor figure that helped you the most?
This is a tough one. I know it's supposed to be lightning round. Mentor figure, I would say, currently, somebody that I really do look at that way is a colleague and friend of mine named Julie Rising. And she's older than me, but we connect on a very wonderful personal and professional level. She shows me what good relationships look like with her and her husband and her and her children. And, you know, one of the things she always said to me when we first met was, "I'll always be a soft place for you to land." And it's been really wonderful to have her in my corner and to be able to collaborate with her professionally and it not just be about me receiving, but, you know, with a mentor relationship, she's able to receive things from me as well from the business side. So it's a really beautiful relationship, and I'm lucky to have her in my life for sure.
Yeah, you sound like you certainly are. What daily ritual works best for you?
Oh, I'd say when I think of daily ritual, the best ritual for myself is tuning into my intuition. I have things that I intend to do and I strive to do, but if there's something that's telling me shift this way, then I honor that. But I definitely have a morning routine that I work towards that starts the night before by planning what I'm going to do the next day. I get up the next day and I always make sure that I take my vitamins and all those supplements. I always make sure to have breakfast of some sort, to exercise, to do wealth consciousness work, mindset work every day. And the big piece of that is I guard my mornings and even late mornings very, very rigidly, because that is so essential to me. So I typically don't schedule anything before 1 p.m. If I can help it. So that's definitely a big piece of my rituals, is guarding my time in the morning.
Yeah. What's your favorite food?
Japanese hibachi, 100%. That was an easy one.
Love it. Do you like the country or the city?
Yes, and I will give that answer. I like them both. Too much of one, I think, would leave me restless and desiring the other. So,
what's the biggest piece of advice you can give to others to help them make change in their life?
Get curious and be willing to look at yourself objectively and honestly.
Yeah, I love that. I love the whole thing of being curious, because quite often you can actually be like an ostrich, put your head in the sand and not get curious.
La, 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 I'm not listening.
I don't want to go there. But being curious about yourself can open the world up to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I was talking about that just last week, and it's fascinating what it can offer you when you just open yourself to that perspective. Pardon me.
Yeah. So last question, if you had a time machine, what would you go back and do differently or tell your former self?
I don't think I'd do anything differently, but I would go back and tell me before I started getting interested in dating and before I started thinking about career, because I found those are the kind of two catalysts that disconnected me from myself and for a lot of people as well. Stay true to who you are. It's okay to like what you like, and you can accomplish anything, and you deserve what you desire, and you don't have to sacrifice to be liked, to achieve things, to acquire this, you know, X, Y, or Z. And really stay true to yourself, and the right people and the right opportunities that are going to feel good to you will come alongside. And if people don't like you, why would you want to spend your time changing who you are or convincing yourself otherwise to keep a relationship that really doesn't serve you?
Yeah, I love that advice. Well, thank you so much for your valuable time today, Jen. Would you like to give us the best place to contact you? And we'll end it there.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you are interested in anything related to the coaching, consulting, all that juicy stuff, even the upcoming retreat I have this September here in Boston, you can get information about all of that at my website, magicalmindfulness.com. And if you're interested in having me come speak for you, for your audience, you can check out my speaking and press page, thejenmoff.com.
Love it. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. It was so much fun. I love the lightning round.
Igniters, Jen Moff gets curious, and she knows that you need to look at yourself objectively and honestly. I also think it's awe-inspiring that she believes that you deserve what you desire. If you want to contact Jen, go to magicalmindfulness.com or thejenmoff.com. For someone who knows what living Groundhog Day is like and now has the skills to get out of it and live a life of balance, groundedness, and being centered so that you can have all the adventures you wish, go to my website, leanneblaney.com.